good. Let's go into the word again. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. I will declare and decree at the end of today's meeting that saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. So when it comes to relationships with people, one of the things you want to always remember, right, is that God has extended his arm of love towards you. We need to just keep extending it to others. We need to just keep extending. That's true Christianity. That's true Christianity. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18, he says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, on Wednesday, we looked at the concept of heaven and earth. You remember that? What did you say about heaven and earth? You all just said yes, so. Temple where the what? Supernatural and the natural and the physical meet. So heaven, we speak about the what? Unseen. Is that correct? Yeah. So biblical use of the word heaven, a lot of times your mind should not go to what you see on the skies as light blue. You know, there's even a color we have that is called sky blue. All together, right? So that's sky blue. What you see when you look up is what people call heaven, where God, and I always tell you the story of, if you have a child who is very smart, and I told you a story of a child who went on the plane for the first time and kept looking out through the window and was asking. So the father kept asking, what are you looking for outside? And the child was asking, I'm trying to look for God, right? And he said, why are you looking for God? He said, but I thought you told me that God is in heaven and we have come to heaven. Right? Yeah. And I told you that if you have a lot of technology, you know, there are some things that, some rockets that can take you from that leave the earth and they go into the sky. Is that correct? And they go past the earth. Right? Technology. Yeah. Is that correct? Yeah. So in the real sense, technology can do and undo a lot of things. Right? So if you go out of the earth, for instance, and you look through and someone points to you and say, that's the earth. The question is, the intelligent child should ask you is, so where is heaven? So where is God? Right? So the concept of heaven and earth in the Bible must not be seen as that which is above and that which is below. If at all it is seen that way, you must understand that which is above must be seen as the place where human eyes, right, will not see, or the place that is not seen as natural. It's supernatural. Right? So in this world, as we are here, there are things unseen. Is that correct? There are things unseen. There's a world behind the world you see. I hope you know. Right, never forget that. There's a world behind the world. So he says, and Jesus came and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Look at verse 6:19. It says, go ye therefore, and what? Teach all nations. Now we said the Greek word for the word there teach is matutior. The Greek word there for the word there teach in the Greek is matutior, right? M-A-T-H. Is that correct? M-A-T-H what? E-T-E-U-O. And we said the word is a word that means to what? To train. To train, to disciple. Is that correct? To train, to disciple, right? So, everyone look at me. In church, what is the fundamental purpose of the church? To train. Are we together? You know, if you've gone to school, any kind of school at all, I'm talking of school at a, I'm not talking for children, even as children, I'm just saying any school, from where you start to know your left and right properly. When you are going to school, one of the things you must always remember to take is what? Materials that will help in your study in the school. You know, when we're younger, in secondary school, for instance, I remember my parents used to buy every textbook I needed. They would just buy it for me, purchase it for me. They always knew where they want, where they could buy it and all of those things, right? So I used to inscribe my name. How many of you used to do it? Inscribe your name on this side of the book, right? So anywhere you see it, you know that's from your father's house, right? You know, but another thing again that we usually do is, my parents usually do at the time, is that they usually buy me 80 Lee's books and 60 Lee's books, plenty. All together. Then if you're like me, what I like to do is, I'll pick the first book, I'll say mathematics. Pick the second book, I'll write further mathematics. I'll write the next one, biology. So when I'm going into a chemistry class, what do I take? I go with my textbook, for instance, what we call the new school, Ababio, what we used to call Ababio then, or essential chemistry, right? And I go with my notebook. Is that correct? Now, could I read that book without going to the school? Yes. Could I read my textbook without going to the classroom? What am I going to the classroom to do? To get trained. Now, remember on Wednesday, we started saying something. We said, You can teach without training. Is that correct? But you cannot train without teaching. I'll say one more time. You can teach without training, right? But you cannot train without teaching. So when you say you are training someone, what you are doing is it involves teaching. So Jesus says, go into the world and train. And train. And train. So it's a posture that every believer should have in the local church. So the local church is a training center. Hallelujah. You know, you can take my teaching and listen to it online. Is that correct? Yeah. But you know that you can't be as much trained the way you're looking at me now. Right? So what do you do? Whereas when you come to the church, when you're going to church, what do? Right? You go with your Bible. You go with your what? Your what? Your writing materials. Let me tell you, it is not wokeness to not write in church. Are we here? It is not wokeness to not have a note. Are we together? You know, a lot of times I blame we pastors, right? We want to always be very, we want to always come down to the level of the people who we are being trained. But that's not how training is done. Right? You know, you're not the one that dictates to your trainer how they train you. How many of you, you go to the camp, right? Maybe you're a soldier. Yeah? Imagine a soldier goes into a camp, a barracks, right? And as soon as he steps, he just goes with his high shoulder. And he just sees his commandant. And says, good morning, sir. I just want you to know that as I've come here, nothing like push up for me. I just want you to know that as you are seeing me like this now, right? Nothing like, don't ask me to run, please. I can do anything else in this camp, but don't ask me. Who dictates how the training should be done in the barracks? The commander and the trainer. But you also know that the trainer has a material that guides in the training, such that there are some things you need to do as a soldier, cadet, yeah, you know, when you come in as a cadet, there are some things you must have done, that if you don't do them, they cannot qualify you and call you soldier. Are we together? Right? Yeah? And we have a little of that, for instance, in what you call NY7, part of the world where I come in. Yeah? There's something you call rope. How many of you climbed rope? You climbed rope. Some of you did not climb rope, right? Yeah? You know, NYC is just a place where you can just say no. That's the kind of place where you say no. You know, some people, they come to NYC camp. The first day, I have asthma. You've just saw field, though. You never see more than just saw field. And some people wear white. They have asthma. And, you know, a lot of us now know the right connects that we can use to get medical reports. Carry your medical report like your ID card. Yes, in fact, if you go out of your room and you forget your ID card, you're happy. But your medical report will say, I have asthma. So when they say run, say, no, I don't run, I have asthma. You know that if that's the way you go into a proper barracks, they will say you're not qualified. I hope you know, before you even become a cadet to go into the barracks, there are some things they will check you have or not. So a lot of times, all those your fake ones that you are doing, right? It does not carry weight. I'm trying to say that a lot of people take that approach as well into the Christian faith, right? When you come to church, I want pastor to just, you know, pastor, no. You know, some people, they know what pastors should say and should not say. And they've never discipled any soul. Even the children under their care are wayward. The children they give birth to, they are wayward. But they know what the church should look like. You know, Jesus says that, go into all the world and train. That is why when you come to church, right, the same way you go with your textbook, you have what? You have your Bible. You have your writing material. You take notes. Right? You take notes. So that anytime, anywhere you find yourself tomorrow, and then also some school technology don't even help, or knowledge, and school training don't even help, because a lot of us went to school and we crammed. Altogether. If I ask some of you now, what is the figure of pi in decimal point? Just two decimal places. So pi, you say 7.2. You say, what is it? Everybody should talk. It's 0.3, see? It's 0.3. if I ask anybody now to write it in their note, that you see different answers. Yeah? Because what happened? We used to what? We're used to cramming. You know, when you go for exam. For the stress is the animal. So what do you agree to say? Yeah? Yeah? What is covalent bond? Covalent bond is the bond you will cram everything. And once you go to the exam, what do? You pour it out. If some of us, first thing you do, want to give your answer booklet, yeah? You first go to the back. You first You first pour, if you do engineering a lot, you first pour out all the formulas, right? Yeah, but that's a lot of cramming, right? You see, when it comes to the Christian faith, because now I hope you know that the reason why we repeat a lot is because there's safety in repetition. So when we say things in the church, right, learn the art. Imagine you go to a classroom and a chemistry teacher and biology teacher just say, biology is the study of plant and animal. And just say, word. Do you behave that way? Say, wow, word. Wow, that's deep. Are we together? So the local church is not a place, because the training center is not a place where we just shout deep, right? We go to the classes, biology is the study of plant and animal. What do? You write it. You note it down. Right, if you come the next Wednesday and they say the same thing again, what do? You note it down. Because a lot of times, the things you keep noting down, they stay more with you. I hope you know, people say that at retention span, the scientists have done a lot of formula and calculation. They say people retain, let me not give you a number. Now, before you start using it to listen in church, after all, they say you cannot retain more than this percent. Yeah, they say people retain a certain percentage of what they hear, right? And they retain more when they write. Are we together? So, when you call yourself a believer and you go to church, don't let your church activity be full of, some people, you check their bag, what you see is makeup, make down, lip gloss, touch up Vaseline, dusting powder, and brown powder, right? Some of them, in your same bag, you will carry extra slippers in the same bag, but extra clothes, you see in the same bag. Yeah, there's sunshade, there's medical shade. There's one you wear when you want to look at the world. There's one you wear when you are looking at the sun, right? But and there's, for some of us, even have tripod. You have tripod in you have professional camera in your bag. Where is your Bible? It's on the yes. So we're going all techie. Now the truth is, technology is good. Yeah, but I hope you know that technology can be used to your disadvantage. And let me tell you, I've found very few disciplined people who can commit themselves to concentrate when their phones are with them. All together, right? I've seen people, I've been preaching here before, someone sat in front of me, even with iPad, opened the old iPad, I was chatting WhatsApp. So when you look at her, she's doing through, you see she's typing Genesis chapter 2 verse 2. She's typing, then when I now crack joke, we'll laugh together. So you'll be thinking we are laughing at what I'm talking about in the world. So what am I saying? Now, I've seen things, right? So what should be your posture? You see, yeah, good. If you have a tab, fine, better, yeah? A tab might be better for you, because if it doesn't have SIM card. But some of you, will still do desktop view with your tab, right? You can have a tab, you can have a notepad. I'm not against technology. Technology, yeah. I'm not against it, right? But Brother Jude, right? Yeah, but the truth is that try to ensure that the things that will distract you know yourself. You know yourself, right? Yeah, you know yourself. When you're coming to church, on Sunday, you can even put your phone on a setting. Nowadays, phones can have that setting. You can put a setting on your phone. Every Sunday, your phone goes mute. Do not disturb by default. You don't need to remember, yeah? Don't put alarm on 10:30 Sunday. What was your alarm for 10? Your church is missing at 10 o'clock. Why is that alarm ringing on your phone at 10:30? What is it to remind you about? Do you understand? You get the point, right? So training involves you being committed and going with a posture. So that's why you see us come to gospel class. Yeah, what happens? You come to church, there's a writing material. You are taking notes. You are jotting things down. Yeah, you can't listen to someone like me and just be listening to me and think you understand it. It's not possible. We say a lot as a church. We say a lot as a church, right? So let that be your attitude. It says go into the world and train. Yeah? Yeah? If you are, like we said on Wednesday, as an intern, you go to a mechanical shop, right? What do? Go to writing material, right? When they say anything, you talk. If you have questions, you know, the way I write, yeah? I write from front to back. But anything about ultras, anything about questioning, if I have a question while I'm listening to the teaching, I go to the back straight, question page. I just write my question, right? Yeah, I don't pause at the question to see if I should continue listening. Some of us do that. You have a question when pastor is teaching, and because you are dwelling on that question, you now forfeit every other thing pastor is saying. No, write it down somewhere, right? That's why as a church, we have what you call question and answer session, where you can what? Ask your questions. A lot of times, if you act this way when the word is taught in God's palace, during the days when I say it's question and answer session, I don't need to spend time to ask, do you have any question? You know why? Because you just flip to the back of the book and just read out your question or type it or say it out. Right? So I'm saying there's a push to say, go into the world and teach all nations. Right? Teach all nations. So when you come to church, it's an avenue for you to be trained. Say, I will be trained. Say, I will be trained. So what is the material for training? God's word. Altogether, the material for training is God's word. So he says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Yeah. Teach all nations. That's Mark 16 I was quoting. Yeah. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right. It says teaching them to observe. We said the word there teaching means to pay attention. Is that correct? To observe, perio, to attend. Right. So when you're writing, for instance, and I say the Greek word is this, what do? You write it down. Right? You write it down so that it can help you in your Bible study. Right? Another time you can say a word similar to that and it will help you. Right? You know, I always tell you that a lot of people believe that, no, the Bible is just so basic. I hope you know that if you read this Bible with your plain eyes, right, without, one, first of all, having the right study materials, right, and having a trainer, you probably miss a lot of the points in the Bible. Altogether, right? It's not a curse. Yeah? No, the Bible is black and blue. No, it can't. Oh. It can't be. Oh. Because if the Bible is black and blue, it means that all the instructions in the Bible needs to be taken hook, line, and sinker. How did they say it? Yeah? Abraham was a man of faith. Is that correct? And Abraham had a wife. Is that correct? And he was looking for a child. Is that correct? And he slept with his house girl. Is that correct? Is that an instruction? Yeah? You know, like I would always tell you, there are things that are allowed in scriptures for us to learn. So you say everything in Bible, no, it's just plain. No. The truth is that, so when you hear me use the word, the Greek word, yeah? So that word now, teach all nations in verse 19, it looks very basic. But the root word in the Greek is actually the word that means to train, yeah? So it means that when you're going to a local church, you go to a local church where you are being trained, yeah? It's easy for you as a member of a local church to just be, you know, looking for where there's excitement, which is what a lot of us like in our world today. Yeah, in fact, you invite people to your church. You know, invite people to your church. How long is your service? So nowadays, the new thing I started learning today, I just say, just come. Don't worry, we don't stay morning till evening. Yeah, because I'm wondering why you're asking how long is your service. Yeah, I understand everybody has their time. But the truth is, it is one service maximum twice in a week. Out of 160-something hours in a week, right? Yeah, I say, what time is it? I like that pastor. He's so brief. He doesn't know anything. No, let me tell you for free. Listen to me carefully. If you're in your exam room and they ask you a question, discuss the amalgamation of, okay, do you write two lines? Are you brief? You know, sometimes you write, you say, further to what I said above. Why are you saying further to what I said? Because you know something. A lot of times, and it makes us pastors lazy. I see some people doing three services between 8 and 12. Three services between 8 and 12 on a Sunday. Three. And each of the services, there was prayer, there was singing. Each of the services, the word was taught, there was testimony. There was offering time. There was choir ministration. There was drama. And there was an announcement. And they did three services in 4 hours. How did we get there? Sometimes even after 1 hour, 20 minutes, I'm still saying, I've not even started what I want to say. You're not telling me I should do two services in 1 hour, 20 minutes. And I just like it when it's quick. That's why I like mass. I just like mass. We just go there, just confess our sins. Someone tackles it from there, takes it to the Father. And we just move. No. There is such a thing called training. Let me tell you, you cannot grow without training. The Bible says, train up a child in the way of the Lord. It is train, right? Not teach. Like I will say, when you are training, it will involve teaching. Yeah? Training is not the same as, you know, it's not a casual thing. Just say, no. You see this MOG. You are talking. You don't want your church to grow. I'll say this to leaders, right? But you hear people say some things and be like, if you want your church to grow, right, you need to do things. You know, people are so time conscious. Okay, since you've been trying to keep to time, where did it take you to? You know, if you want to, in this 21st century, are we in 21st century, Rabbi? 21st century, if you just want your church to grow, just, there's a kind of songs that we sing that you know, we'll just move everyone to, you know, you don't want people to go. I've heard people, I know pastor friends who have told me, you know, you know, we don't want our members to be going to the club. So what do? Bring the club to the church. I know somebody who said, that's the person, what church did you go to? He's mentioned the church. Why do you like it? It just gives me the atmosphere of a club. I just love the atmosphere, right? You know, when it's time for singing, they just off all the light and they put red and blue, green lights and yellow lights, right? And they're just moving around. Then there's what? There's smoke at the base. One person just press somebody, just see smoke everywhere. When the smoke come down, what will you see? Your natural self without what? Any development. I like that song. I like that church. The kind of songs they sing, any raining song, I love their instrumentalists. That's not the purpose of the church. So the reason why it's difficult to understand you're a man on a mission is because, first of all, as a church, a lot of times we've lost our identity. You know, you should be able to go to a church and know that this is a church. It is different from a club. A lot of people who say they like their church because their church looks like a club, they have not stopped going to club. And they will go from club and they will come and minister on the stage. Are we together? It's very easy, right? Just, you know, a lot of churches around the world, today is Sunday, their pianist is high now as I'm talking now. I'm not joking. As we are talking now, their pianist is high. He's wearing shades. I can see one of them. He's wearing shades right now. So just like you cannot see how red his eye is, but he's high. He has gone. Right? Then what happened? He will not start giving us into. Then all of us too, who did not partake of the thing that made him high, you now start to jump. You know, say, there is a liberty. There is liberty. You know, people, when they want to enter their shrine, you know, there's some shrines you don't enter with your front. You enter with back. Yeah? It's because our God does not flog. That's why we behave anyhow. Hey, you enter a club. You know, but think about it. If God used to flog people, there'll be order in the church. There'll be order in the church. Because the first person God needs to flog is the pastor. Imagine I'm just talking nonsense right now. I just say, why? The church, we have sanity. I say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm not reading the word. You never know, we'll come to church. I'm just reading the Bible. I read from Matthew chapter 1 to 28. Are you there? Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 1. Yeah? By the time I just talk another nonsense again, one flock. You know, God is just so patient. All together. You see some people, right, when it's time for their prayer, right, they face one part of the world, you know, they put their, they're very committed. But why do we like being playful? Why do we like being playful? I understand that the different expressions that people can have in church. See, the only reason why we do church the way we do, right, is just to ensure we are mentally able to limit distractions. That's just the little thing. Yeah? Nobody say there's no biblical method. I say, for instance, this kind of tune you should sing to, kind of tune you should dance to. No. But the truth is that in your heart, you know. Yeah? There's some interlude you hear on the piano, right? It's not like it's a worldly interlude, but it was just for a worldly song. So the moment you hear that interlude, what comes to your mind is not Jesus on the cross. I shake body. Eh? Imagine. Eh? No, now. I'm laughing. 10 years ago, I used to do it now in church. When I used to pray in Abad. Yeah? And I was, hey, come on, hey. And everybody will just let loose. And just behave as if you're in the club. And after everybody will sweat, when it's time for the word, hallelujah, everybody will just be fanning themselves with their chewing gum. This guy should talk what he wants to do. In fact, the only reason why a lot of them are still waiting is because they're still dancing during offering. You know what I'm saying? When you finish, you take picture outside. Picture outside. No, there should be a sense of decorum when we come for training. That's why in school, when you go to school, there's what you call lecture time, there's what you call practical time, there's what you call break time. Are we together? There's break time. When it's break time, let's all, if you like, jump the fence. Right? I remember when I was younger, I was told that once I go to school, I used to win the award of most neatest boy in my school. But once break time lands like this, they can give me award of most dirtiest boy. I can roll on the floor. I can use my white will turn to brown, right? That's okay. It's called break time. You know, but when we come to the church, there should be much. You know, we have break times at the church. Is that correct? We have love feast, but you can't be doing more love feast than teaching. No, that's problem. I can't be doing more love feast every week. Love feast, 3 hours. I'll be playing charade. I'll be charade. What do you call it? Eh? Tomorrow. Sister Jo, you have what? You have what? Bring your what? You have Uno. Bring your Uno. Ah, brother, you have football, ball. Yeah, yeah. We can use that field. No, there's time to play. But you see, the work that God is doing on the earth is a lot. So we have to be serious minded. So Jesus says, go into all the world and teach. My emphasis today is just Matthew's Gospel 28. Yeah, because we'll be done shortly. Right? Go into the world and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to do all things. Right? I've commanded. Right? Look at Matthew's Gospel. And look at Psalm 22 quickly. I'll just do Psalm 22 and we'll take it up from there. And we'll close up today. Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 27. So who is a man on a mission? A man on a mission is the one who comes to church as a serious person. A man on a mission is one who knows the kind of local church to pick. Altogether. Knows the kind of local church to pick. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28. Psalms 22, is that correct? Let's read verse 27 together if you are there. 1, 2, 3, go. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before the... Verse 28 together, 1, 2, 3, go. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor amongst the nation. So, does God want to build a people that he will govern? Is that correct? So, he will govern a people that he will be... So, is God governing everyone on the earth today? No. Does God want to govern everyone on the earth today? How will he do it? Through us who are men on a mission. So when the Bible says go into the world and teach all nations, that instruction is not to pastors. It's not to leaders of a church. No, it's not to. It's to everyone who is born again. You know, we sang today, your spirit in me. Eh? Did you say your spirit in pastor? Is that what you said? You said your spirit in me. So everyone that has the spirit has a mission. So what is God doing in the earth? God is building a people. He's building a nation where he will become a governor. He's building a kingdom. So it means the work has to be done seriously. Let me ask you a question. Listen to me carefully. You know, in God's palace, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands. You know, I did this a few months ago, right? And I asked a question. In the last 6 months, if somebody has stopped you on the road to preach to you, lift your hands. Let me see. 6 months. Let's start from 3 months. In 3 months, somebody random has stopped you on the road to preach to you. 6 months. In the last 6 months, lift your hands. Somebody has stopped you to preach to you. Not you've preached to somebody. Somebody has stopped you to preach in 6 months. Okay, that's 3. In the last 1 year, someone has stopped you to preach to you. All of you are in 6, will obviously be in 1. In the last 2 years, do you know that in the last 7 years plus, no human being has stopped me to preach. To preach to me. Yet, God wants a work to be done. I will not ask you to lift your hands, but answer this question to yourself. If you are here, that you've taken out time, we are going for evangelism today, is that correct? Evangelism time. Don't lift your hands, though. You've taken out time to go out and preach to somebody on the road. Answer this in the last 2 weeks. Answer that same question for the last 2 months. I said that same question in this year. That this year, apart from my evangelism time, you've gone out more than once. Not the one pastor asked you to go as leaders, right? You've gone out to preach the gospel to someone. Why am I saying this? I'm saying for a church like this, where we place emphasis on the preaching of the gospel the way we do, think about the ratio of us who are actually going out to preach the gospel. So imagine if we're not... So I'm trying to say that, you know, I've told you before, I preached to somebody in this city, where the person told me, oh, somebody from the church has preached to me. Yeah? Yeah, I've told it before, right? Somebody from the church, that church, oh, gospel, it did a very good, gave me a word of knowledge and everything. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, but I'm trying to say, imagine how many churches are doing that on the streets. So imagine we trying to be serious with sound doctrine. Our people are still even trying to struggle to do it. So imagine if we're not serious at all with sound doctrine. Who will do the work that God wants to be done on the earth? I was talking with someone recently, you know, and they say they go for evangelism. I was like, how's evangelism? And talking that, oh, they get together and they play music and, you know, when people come, it's a turning point. That's not training. That's not training. That you cannot be bold enough to take your Bible one day, go on the street, and stop somebody on the road and say, hey, sister, hey, but yesterday I was in London in a cab, right? And I was speaking to a guy, right? And I ministered to him and I preached to him, right? And in my head, it just dawned on me. I was like, one of the things that, because my plan was preach at the airport, you know, when I was coming back and when I was going and everything. When I saw the price of the thing, the guy was going to charge me. I said, how can you collect this money for me and I'll not win your soul? Right? But I'm trying to say that there are lots of believers who might even think that way, but they don't even know what to say. Or they will find a way to explain. No. Another person will reach them. You know, some people, you know, they say, they have three categories of people in the church. They have the goers, those that go to the battlefield. Then we have the groaners, those that stay at the back. And they are praying, interceding. So we will say they have intercessory ministry. Intercessory ministry, what is intercessory ministry? We are praying for those who are in the field. Then we have the givers. Who are the givers? The ones that work in the banks and work in IT, financial tech gurus, and they bring their tithe and their seed. What happened? All the givers. Imagine as a pastor, I say, all the givers wait behind after church. I say, the next person, all the groaners wait behind after church. Right? And I say, all the goers. Every church member, every believer is a man on a mission, so he must be a giver, he must be a groaner, and he must be a goer. Every believer. Yeah? Every believer. You can't be saying, somebody is praying for me. No. You are called into a ministry of prayer. You are called into a ministry of giving. You are called into a ministry of going. So the Bible says go into the world. So Jesus wants to be the governor of the entire nations, of all the nations. So what are you supposed to do to yourself every day? You always remind yourself, what has God called you to do? Let me tell you for free, right? If you succeed as a banker, and you succeed as a lawyer, and you succeed as a doctor, and you don't succeed in what God has asked you to do, you've not succeeded to God. I hope you know. So some of us think that the more we keep growing in our facility, in our career, God is happy with us and say, oh, that's my daughter. That's a true daughter of mine. No. The only people that will brag about you are the people in the physical. Yeah? How many times have you had the opportunity to preach to your colleagues? How many times have you had the opportunity to talk about Jesus to your colleagues? You know, it's easy to, apparently in part of the world we are, easy to hide behind, you know, they don't like religion to be spoken about in the church. But the question is, I know that fact, and I've spoken about it severally. It means that if when there's a will, there's a way. Yes. What do I do? I always make sure that my break time, when I go to the office, for instance, I don't do my break time in isolation. No. My break time, I must fit into somebody. My goal is to preach. Are we together? So if I'm hungry at 11, and I tell maybe there's somebody I'm targeting, and I want to go on break at 1:30, I will starve myself. I'll go and be drinking tea to fool my stomach and put biscuits. Right, so that 1 hour, I can go out and preach. Yeah, if at all I want to go on my break alone, in isolation, right, because I want to go and preach, what do? I just cover my laptop, go out, go to the streets, and look for who to talk to. When there is a will, there is a way. I'm talking about in a place where they say, no, they don't want any religion. No, how can you say you don't want any religion? So how are we going to win people, you that want to snatch from the hand of the devil, that say we should not talk to you? So I'm saying, you must always remember that you are a man on mission. So, is God sending you to the finance world for you to amass a lot of wealth and have a lot of money? No. Is it good to have money? Everybody likes to have money. I like to have money. I love to have money. Money is good to spend. It's sweet to spend. Altogether. But you see, I can never for any reason, right, place money that is money to be spent as a major priority for my life. Major priority. So my focus is on what is the mission? What is God asking of me? What is God asking of me? So today again, like we would usually go, we'll go out on the street again. What do? You look at someone and you preach to them. I hope you know. Don't look at people and help them assume that they are Christian. Are we here? That brother, he looks like a Christian. Let me know, brother, preach to you. No. The gospel, since it's the gospel you are preaching, is for both the Christians and the unbelievers. You know that there are Christians as well who need to be stabilized yet more in the will of God. A lot of times it's your preaching that helps them. Right? So that's how you program your life. You're going on the bus, for instance. You're going on the train, for instance, right? You're going out, for instance. What are you thinking about? Who can I preach to? Who can I speak to? Who can I talk to? Who can I minister to? Who can I be a blessing to? Right? That's your mindset. That's the slant you have. Scripture says, go into all the world and what? Preach. So the world is everybody. Is that correct? Everybody. Say, I will, in obedience, preach the message of the gospel. So there's no shyness. Is that correct? We sang that song earlier today. Yeah? There's fire on the streets. Is Jesus walking through? Are we together? Right? There's healing on the street because we are there. So as you go out today, what will you think about? You want to minister God's word? Want to minister God's healing power? Want to bring clarity and bring direction and peace to someone? And for some, it might just be as basic as you just preaching to them about God's love. Telling them that Christ died for them. The guy I was talking to yesterday, right, from Afghanistan, right, he was saying that, oh, he had heard about Jesus partially when he was in school. His school was a mixed school, so we had some Christians who used to gist, you know. So I had to start sitting him down and taking him through the journey of the Christian faith. What exactly does it mean? What is the implication? And I was like, I see. He now said, but I've never heard anybody say it like this to me now. What is my vision, my mission? Anywhere I can sow a seed, I sow it. You know that sometimes you sow seeds in people's lives, and where to harvest, you will not see it. You will not even know. You will not even know. They will just take it from. A brother reached out to me. He's doing a work in Pakistan, right? Got from one of our clips, 1 minute 30 minutes clip we send on TikTok. He followed me. He has a church there. He's building. He said he wants me to mentor him, disciple him. In fact, started disturbing him on video calls. had to eventually speak to him, you know, and all those things. But I'm trying to say that the seed of a message that someone we just did and compared together is building something harvest in Pakistan. I've never been to Pakistan. Another brother like that in Philippines. I've never been to the Philippines. Right? One day he called me he said, I should come and pray for a member and speak to them. He was telling, that's my spiritual father, I'm trying to say there are seeds that you will plant. I don't plan on taking visa to preach anytime soon, Philippines. I'm not planning it now. Let me first go to the ones around me. Right? I'm trying to say that just plant the seed. Just say it. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. So today you speak to somebody, right? Yeah. Now, is it good for you to have them invited in church? Oh, it's a brilliant thing. In fact, you should. Because if you are in the local church like this, I believe and trust that you know that if you are here, you are well-trained. And if you are not well-trained, you shouldn't be here. So, you know, when somebody going out on the street and say, no, it's not by church. It has a lot to do with church. Before you give somebody plus 20, and they give them minus 2 million. You know, you can give somebody plus 20 and they give them minus 2. I remember there was a brother here who reached out to me in Edinburgh. Not a brother, in fact. Let me just keep that, conceal that, right? Yeah, so there's a local church in Edinburgh where they say, you know, if you've not been baptized, if they've baptized you, every baptism they've done in any other church is wrong and they have to do a special kind of baptism and everything. So the father of the pastor who leads the church, I think they are British, right, was now telling me. And I was like, oh, so these kind of things exist? So imagine an agriculture and say, just find a Bible-believing church. No. First of all, try to see how they can come to your local church where you know you are being trained. If it's not possible, what do? You can let them find Bible-believing church around them. Right? So let me say it clearly. I'm trying to say, it is not wrong for you to say, come to my church. Amen. So some of us are shy away from it. Yeah, no, it's not about it. Jesus is everywhere. There's Jesus on the street. I'm saying that there's a lot that is happening in our environment today that you don't want to be sowing seeds that are supposed to germinate and be fruitful. Right? Yeah. If it gets to the point where they don't have a local church around them, what do you do? Yeah, you can keep following up with them. Keep this, that, you know, we've done a series on that, follow up. Right? How to follow up with people, how to speak to them. But see, today you go out, your major goal is to make sure the gospel is preached. And on the back of that, people are saved. On the back of that, people are what? Trained. Listen to it carefully. Your major goal is to preach the gospel. On the back of that, people are what? Saved. Are we together? Right? Imagine you go out and go and preach a message and you call it the gospel. Nobody is saved. What is the message that is not the gospel? When you say, come to God, all your needs will be met. It's not true. Yeah? The message of the gospel teaches that you bring from what you have to help the needs of others, no matter how little you have. Right? So the message is not, come to Jesus. When I joined that church, hey, within 2 weeks like this, I just got a new job. Pam, pam, pam. Yeah? that my pastor, he has the anointing for fruitfulness in the marketplace. Are we together? Right? Yeah. So that's not the message of the gospel. Message of the gospel is that what? God's spirit is readily available to forgive the sins of man. And there's something called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One of the things I'm going to teach in coming days as well is when you start getting people born again, one of the things you can do on the spot before you let them go is get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, they can speak in tongues. I've had encounters of people where I just lay hands on them and speak in tongues. Some I just go through scripture and say, we'll get there gradually. Right? But the most important thing is what? Let them get saved. Right? Number one is what? Preach the gospel. Number two is what? Get them saved. Number three is what? Being trained. So being trained, that's where you talk about the local church. Nobody is saved into isolation. Everybody is saved to come into a family. That's why we meet together as a family. Right? We meet together as a family. Believers come together. Right? Oh, what a blessed church it is where you realize that everybody around you can be a vessel by God. Is that not correct? Yeah? Who would have thought that is a member that will get you healed this morning? Who would have thought? I was together. You know, some people come to church and say, until pastor lays hand on me, I just want pastor. There's nothing wrong in that. But I'm trying to say that we need to ensure we also place honor in other places where we need to place honor on. Right? You know, that's a local church that makes me proud. When someone can come to church for the first time, right, and a member lays hand on her and she's healed. Are we together? What else should make me proud? I should go out and go and like, who came with 2027 Tesla? What's my business on that? You know, that's how people measure God is in their midst. It says, worker. Yeah? We have what you call helipad. You know what helipad is? We have some members that come with helicopter. Right? God is here. Say God is here. God is here. Helipad. I hope you know that God is in the midst of people that meet under the tree. There are places, I told you I went to a place to preach, right? Before, I was using torchlight on my phone to preach. Open my Bible. I was using torchlight on my phone to preach. They didn't have wireless. There's no light. Is it wireless that we have? I heard the mic like this. I hold the mic like this. I didn't phone like that. I was doing like this. Yeah, God was glorified. The Spirit of God was there. Spirit of God is there. This is not Spirit of God, though. Amen. What is this one? It's just to let us see lyrics. Eh? Once we see lyrics, what? We move on. Yeah, but you say, God is here because, they're all shiny and bright. That's why I always warn the media people, right? Don't come to church and be saying, if you want native today, come. Everybody wore suit today. We are all blue. Let's take a picture. No, that's not necessary. Yeah? There's something supernatural. What about someone just talking about, I went to that church, and the first person I met just told me about the challenge I've been going through for years, and it got sorted. Is that not a local church? Right? So God is here. How do we know God is here? Because we are here and His Spirit is here with us. So look at someone.